Republican. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesey, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 50th episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos. And I'm broadcasting live from my home here in Harrisburg, South Dakota this morning. I want to get right to the guest today because he truly is an exceptional man. He's also a busy man, and I don't want to waste his time, and I want to make sure that you hear from him right away. My guest today is an expert and really a cutting-edge entrepreneur in the world of internet marketing and content creation. He is also, in my opinion, a giant in the online fiber arts world. He is the president and founder of Prime Publishing, his fourth media startup. Their group of 27 cooking and crafting properties creates, aggregates, and reviews original content. The brands span digital websites, email newsletters, social media, licensing, e-commerce, business information, and marketing services. If you don't recognize the name Prime Publishing, that's probably because you know them from their more well-known online presences like FabeCrafts.com, AllFreeKnitting.com, AllFreeCrochet.com, StitchesAndUnwind.com, and the Knitpicky Patterns e-newsletter, to name just a few. He and his team are great folks that do a wonderful job reaching millions of knitters and crocheters with killer content. And they've been great partners to me, our company, XRX Inc., and also to many of our Stitches vendors and sponsors. I'm excited to have him on the show to talk about himself, his company, and something new that we have planned. I'm speaking to my friend, Stuart Hawkward. Stuart joins us this morning from Northbrook, Illinois. Good morning, Stuart, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Ben. Really excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me today.
It's well past due. I've been thinking about you guys for half a year. Oh, I've got to have somebody on from Prime because what you guys do is pretty great. But before we get to your story, how are things going this morning? How's the weather up in outside Chicago?
Picture perfect. Unlike Colorado, we didn't get any snow yesterday, so terribly excited about that. Got some rain, but, you know, we needed a little bit of rain. But it's hot and humid and going to be 80 or something today, so we're doing well. Thank you for asking.
No problem. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was great. Good Mother's Day. How about you?
Yeah, pretty calm. It was just I like calm rather than, you know, lots of plans. I'm getting boring in my old age, Stuart.
So, well, I'm glad you had a calm and not boring weekend.
Yeah. All right, let's get right into this because I really want the Fiber Hooligans to hear about you. And let's start with the usual. Let's give our Fiber Hooligans listeners a little background about you. Tell us about your Stuart, where you're from, and all of that.
Well, Ben, as you know, I came from the planet Zegor 5 years ago. I am an alien, and I've been sent here to understand more about the arts and crafts market, in particular fiber and yarn.
Well, and I think that's smart because that's really Earth's main resource, don't you think?
Well, what we're trying to do over on the Zegor, whatever I said, was create a big ball of yarn to have sort of, you know, on Earth you have the moon. We're looking for something similar, and we're thinking of creating that out of yarn. Yeah.
Oh, that's too good. That's too good. Okay, so folks, you're going to find out that Stuart's a funny guy, much funnier than I am. But in all seriousness, let's give them your alias.
So I'm an alien, but not from that planet. Do you want me to tell them the real name of the planet, or
are you
serious now?
No. We know that you're an alien from Zegor, but let's tell them the cover story that we tell that you tell ever.
That's right. The cover up. Yes. So I've been very fortunate. I've been involved in four startups, and actually in the 90s I went to work for a family publishing company, not mine, that was in business for 45 years and really learned a lot about the arts and crafts market and loved it. And about 5 or 6 years ago began studying the market and saw that there had been great expansion in the arts and crafts industry, and decided I wanted to, you know, come back and launch a fourth startup specifically regarding cooking and crafting content, all digitally, all online. And my third startup was also in the digital space. It was digital marketing technology. And so I sold that company and was sort of thinking about what I wanted to do, and came up with the concept of creating great content online supported by advertising. That's kind of the prime model. Our very first website we launched in February of 2009 was favecrafts.com, and that actually covers everything from A to Z. But what we discovered when we launched Favecrafts was that crochet was really, really popular. And so about 9 months later, we launched allfreecrochet.com, which is, as you might imagine, all about free crochet patterns. And our goal in working with our editorial team is to create, aggregate, and review content related to the specific niche that we are trying to create a community around. So we have a website, we have a companion free email newsletter, and then we have a community where people can actually comment on our website or participate on Facebook or Pinterest or Twitter, all in the goal of really trying to provide 5 minutes of fun in someone's life every day around a topic that they're passionate about. So it could be crochet, it could be knitting, it could be quilting, it could be slow cooker recipes, it could be diabetic recipes, kids crafts. We have sites on 27 different topics, but all sites that people are passionate about for one reason or another. And we have 37 editors here in Northbrook, which is just outside of Chicago, that work for us 5 days a week, creating, aggregating, and reviewing content. These are full-time editors who take a look at content and make sure that we put it into a format that's going to be exciting and readable and clean for our readers. And that's, you know, the basis for what we do.
Well, and it's very exciting. You've grown very quickly. You started, again, with Favecrafts. I remember when Favecrafts came out, and you got in front of this very quickly. You've grown. You've grown a lot. I mean, of course, you've got the food vertical and many of the crafts vertical, and you continue to break them down to create more suitable niches. And, you know, it's about building community, and I think that's paid off because, you know, I think the last time I looked, you know, between your knitting and crochet, you were 2.5 to 3 million people that were following just those two verticals.
Yeah, so, you know, the top line numbers are we have 5.7 million subscribers, and that's across cooking and crafting. Specifically in knitting and crochet, we have about 1.1 million subscribers. Our consumers look at about 15 million pages of content per week. And then, of course, we also have an active social presence, whether it be on Pinterest or Facebook or Twitter. Again, a very holistic approach to providing consumers the best quality content and giving them the help that they need to make a project or a recipe. So we've continued to grow quickly because we look very carefully every single day at what consumers are clicking on. And that forms the basis for us to understand consumer behavior. And we actually work on a 7-day publishing cycle, which is really interesting because if we see something trending this week, we're then able to, starting with Sunday, manage our editorial calendar both on the website and through our email newsletters and make the appropriate changes so that we can better engage the consumers. If we also see something that's not resonating, we'll pull back. And so what you see every week is us looking at the data because we don't just have editors, we have analytical editors that are actually creating the content and actually looking at the trends to better identify what's going to resonate with the consumer.
Well, and I think that's an interesting concept because, you know, there's always, and, you know, again, your first foray out there into when you worked with a startup, small family publishing business, there can be a fight, you could say, between sales and marketing and editorial quality. But the wonderful thing about what I think you've done here is that you've got editors that are not only looking for good stuff, they're also looking for stuff that is resonating. In other words, okay, this strikes a chord, therefore it must be good. And so it's a weighted thing so that you're continually getting better and feeding the public more of what it wants.
Well, the interesting thing about traditional media is there was never that feedback loop. So there might be a segment on the nightly news. It was very difficult in most markets to identify whether the residents in that market really liked that segment. In terms of, you know, magazines or newspapers, it was very difficult to understand without expensive and time-consuming research whether that article really resonated with the consumer. With online, not just with our company, but with any organization that's really looking at the numbers, it's relatively easy. And the numbers don't lie. And so we sometimes run into this challenge where the editors say that's not possible, and yet we have to train and inform, you know, our team that actually the numbers are the best indicator of what the consumer really likes. And as long as we're comfortable looking at the numbers and analyzing it, of course, intuition is fabulous because, you know, nobody, you know, using the famous Apple story, you know, nobody would have ever invented the iPhone or the iPod or the, you know, iPad. So intuition is still very, very important. Once you have that intuition, you have to supplement it with the numbers. And that's really the killer format that allows our organization and a lot of other organizations online to interact favorably with the consumer and provide the content that they want.
It's such a smart idea that, you know, you get good editorial people. I'm most familiar with you folks, of course, through your fiber arts-related sites and eating newsletters, mm-hmm. not so much your food and others. You know, the titles are great. I go on Stitch and Unwind, your big blog, which is great to read. Of course, I go into allfreeknitting.com and allfreecrochet.com, but I really look forward to getting your e-newsletter, knitpickypatterns.com. And I want to talk about that for a minute because
this is
a really killer e-newsletter. I mean, I can't say enough about just how much killer content is in every single one of them. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, you open up one of these newsletters and there's a free pattern right away, and bang, there's a contest that you can enter. And there's a special over here. It just seems like, you know, twice a day I get these newsletters, and I'm just shocked about how much value added that you throw into this. I mean, this is stuff that really people sell, and you're giving away so much of this. I mean, you're just chock full of good stuff.
Well, thank you. I mean, it really starts with an editorial philosophy and also a company philosophy. From an editorial philosophy, it really starts with a training program. So our organization is very careful about the type of editor that we select. We only select from certain schools. The editor has to have a very high GPA, 3.5 or higher. We have the editor go through a series of 3 writing tests just to make sure that they can write and interact well with the consumer about any topic. Then we have a 13-week training program that brings them up to speed on our specific requirements and our specific markets. So somebody who's going to be working on a knitting site obviously has to not only know how to write for that market, but also has to understand the market. The philosophy of the company is win, win, win. And so you take a look at a lot of the content in the newsletters, it may be a blogger who's producing terrific content. And we want to work with that blogger and drive traffic to his or her, typically a female, site, but not always. And we'll feature that blogger in our newsletter, on our website, in our blog, and we can identify how that blogger resonates with our audience because of our analytical tools. And so typically, we might put a project up on our website and we'll see how the consumers interact. If they interact well, then we'll go back to that blogger and get more projects, and we might do a little short feature in an email newsletter with that blogger's project. And if we see that blogger's project in the newsletter works well, we may roll out in a week or two more projects from that blogger in a more prominent space within the newsletters. So it's really a very controlled experience, starting with the selection process of our editors, you know, hiring the very best, putting them through a training program, and then looking for the very best content, whether we own it or not, out on the internet, so that our consumers are getting the very best content, almost like voted upon by fellow consumers. And if we win by having a happy consumer, then the blogger wins by getting great traffic, and we win by having traffic to our websites and email newsletters. And when all three parties win, it's a terrific scenario. And that's really what we like to do. We also know that the consumers and the manufacturers, you know, love product reviews and contests and giveaways. And online, we really have no limits to what we can offer. So we can run multiple product reviews and multiple giveaways, and we can put up multiple projects. So if a consumer is looking for a green wreath and they come onto our website and they see it in green, but they decide, you know, I think green with a hint of gold might look nicer in my house, then we likely are going to give them some related content because we have 15 other wreaths that they might be interested in looking at. And so, again, it's all about creating a good customer experience and giving people choice.
Done that, but I want to talk a little bit. I want to step back because there's a couple things you said there. Of course, you understand the win-win-win, and of course, you understand this, your philosophy of 5 minutes of fun. You brought up your editors, and I want to talk about the rest of your crew, the editors I've met. Everybody I've met in your company is extremely positive and competent. I want to make sure I get a quick shout out to your sales guys, Keith and Chris, some of the best guys I know. I've worked with Caitlin, Simone, and of course Christine, couple of your editors, and they have all really impressed me. I mean, you invest heavily in these folks, but I know that you're always pushing them to understand the nature of what they're doing, and there's an expectation of just good customer service there.
And it really starts with every single thing that we do. And so if you take a look at customer service, which at many organizations lacks, because it's something that's often done as an afterthought, we publish on our website our phone number, our fax, a contact form. And if someone contacts us by the contact form by 8 a.m., the company policy is they'll have an answer by noon. If they contact us by noon, the company policy is they'll have an answer by 5 p.m. And generally speaking, we do better than that. So, you know, compare our philosophy of getting back to every consumer very fast to most companies that we've had an interaction with is typically very slow, if at all. And so we want the consumers to know that we care. In addition, we have a training budget, and it's a goal for every editor, every salesperson to go to a certain number of training classes each year. So accountants, lawyers, doctors have to get certified and recertified and have continuing education credits. We have a similar philosophy for everyone in our organization because we are in online publishing, which changes very quickly. And we live in a world which is changing very quickly, and we need to stay not only on top of the trends, but hopefully even ahead of some trends. And so it comes with, you know, some training and an ongoing effort, not only what's within our organization, but outside resources as well. And we're a big supporter of trade organizations, so it doesn't matter what trade organization is out there. You know, we're a member, We pay the dues, we attend, we participate, and we try to help. And that's why you see our sales and editorial teams so often at your shows, at TNNA, because we know it's important to the industry and it's important to us and it's important to everyone else.
Well, I agree, and I like your philosophy of putting aside a budget for training of your ongoing people. Years ago, when I was a partner in an independent Macintosh retailer store, I was at a conference where somebody was talking about making sure that there was budgeting for your people to continue to go get training, to get better at what they're doing, to learn new things. And somebody stood up in the group and said, well, what if you train them and you know, give them all this extra training, and they leave. And his response was great, I thought, which was, what if you don't and they stay? which makes all the sense in the world if you think about it. And I think it shows through with your folks. Your folks are, I mean, they're on fire. You know, Chris and Keith, especially the sales guys that we talk to, they're more than sales guys. I mean, they are, okay, let me understand the nature of your business and how can we create a new product or a new opportunity that best fits everybody. I mean, that's, you know, they're not selling just the boxes that they have in their cabinet. You know, they're selling ideas. And I just think that's, that says a lot about your organization.
Well, Keith and Chris and I have worked together for about 20 years. And so, at three different organizations. And I think our goals are to provide relationships and not burn bridges. And so, you know, Keith, Chris, and I have worked together because no bridges were ever burned, and we can go back to clients that we worked with 15 years ago, and they had a great interaction then, and they're going to have a great interaction now. Online, of course, with everything being measurable, it's important to really try to look for that win-win-win, because a smart advertiser today understands that there should be some expectation of results. The quote has been associated and attributed to various people, but the department store founder, John Wanamaker, claimed 50% of his advertising was wasted. He just didn't know which 50%. Whether he said it or not, or it was someone else, we've heard the quote over and over and over again. And, you know, our goal in working with clients is not to waste anything, because online there's no need. We can do a small test, see how it resonates. If it works, great. If not, we move on. And we want to work with people where it's mutually beneficial, because that provides long-term relationships. And I think, you know, all too often, you know, that's just not the situation in a lot of organizations.
I think you're right. Now, just for our listeners who don't quite understand how all this works, I'm going to bring it into specific relief by something we've done together. I said in the introduction mm-hmm. that we've been working together for a number of years, and it's been great. And I want to talk about the people in the industry you work with, but let's move forward to what we've done. In the past couple of shows, we've sat down together, Chris, Keith, the management folks at our group, and then extended an offer out to the people that are on the Stitches Market floor, some sponsors and vendors. And mm-hmm. what they did is they got together and created a Best of the Fashion Show e-booklet, basically patterns, and for a small buy-in by the vendor sponsor, and very small buy-in, they essentially put one of the patterns that worked really well from them from the fashion show stage into this thing. It comes out a couple of months after the show. You push it out to everybody out there. People download it, and the people participating, who are our mutual customers, get a lot of traffic to their websites. This is one of those collaborative things that I don't know that I've seen happen, you know, very often.
Yeah, and it's really a great success story for everybody, because we can take, you know, your show, your terrific fashion show, we can work with, you know, vendors who are there and extend the reach of the experience to people who were at the show and who couldn't attend the show, And we do that by creating an ebook that we provide free of charge on our website. So if people were to go to allfreeknitting.com, you know, they'd be able to find the Stitches fashion ebooks. And we're able to not only reach the audience who may be aware of the show, who may have attended or wanted to attend, but also people who weren't aware of the Stitches brand who now will be. Because a typical ebook is going to get 100,000 downloads. And last summer, we actually began putting the ebooks on Amazon and Apple, the respective stores for digital downloads, so that now consumers can enjoy the ebook on their iPad or their Kindle. And, you know, that's also proven to be very popular for our consumers. So the nice thing about an ebook is you can save it to your desktop and you have it there forever. It's not going to get dusty. It's going to be there in a digital format with the pictures and the patterns as crisp today as they will be in 5 years. And, of course, if you do have a tablet, you can then keep it on your tablet as well, and you'll have it again wherever you go, to the beach, on an airplane. In 5 years, it's going to be there for you to enjoy. And that provides a really great experience for the consumer. And then, of course, the brands who are participating, it's a cooperative effort with typically 5 to 10 different brands participating, get that exposure immediately. Again, 100,000 downloads is a lot. But also as the consumers look at the ebook over the next week and month and years, it's sort of a permanent impression. Terrific. And again, the content's great.
Well, it is great. I mean, and you're right. I mean, so here we do this great thing. We have this fashion show. We do a good job with that fashion show. The vendors and the sponsors, they bring their very best to it. But then it's kind of done. It may be a picture. Now we've extended this out. And I remember the first one that came out. I'm sure it was either Midwest or East of last year. You know, uh-huh. Bang. I think it was like within 48 hours, it was 86,000 downloads or something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was pretty incredible, and I had one of our mutual partners in this thing who participated. She saw, I think, 25 to 2,700 new likes on her Facebook page over that. I mean, it was kind of impressive, the results of, again, putting something together, putting good content together, and then throwing it out there, you know?
And again, it's very holistic, and there's no games being played, so when a vendor sees a couple thousand extra Facebook likes, that's because the content is great and people said, you know what, I want to follow this brand because I like them. And that's the best type of customer to have on your Facebook page, because you didn't pay for that. You didn't play any games to get it. It was all very natural. It's someone who's raised their hand and said, you know, I'm really interested in what you do and I'd like to become friendlier with you. And today, you know, in social media, it's not just about getting the likes. It's about getting the quality likes, because what you want to do as you communicate with the people who like you is you want to get that post seen by as many people as possible. And the best way to do that is to get a natural like. So somebody who, you know, comes from our website, which is all about knitting or all about crochet, or downloads an ebook or enters, you know, to win a product review or a giveaway or sweepstakes or an ebook. These are all things that the consumer is passionate about. It's the perfect person. And that's one of the things that we like to do, because we want everyone to be successful. We want everybody. You know, there was an expression when I was at the craft publishing company in the 1990s, you know, more crafters crafting more. That's sort of our philosophy. You know, how do we get more people crocheting more people knitting more people, you know, whatever more, and that's by working collaboratively so that we can all benefit. And that's one of the nice things about doing this online, is the sharing aspect. When you get a fan, you know, that fan could tell 5 or 10 of their other friends who may also be interested, and you can expand exponentially. Because it's all very natural. You know, word of mouth is critically important.
Yes, it absolutely is. But, you know, the thing that I've seen, because, again, Chris and Keith tend to come to the shows and talk to the vendors and sponsors about the opportunity.
Right.
They bring a huge book of numbers so that they can not only talk, mm-hmm. you know, aesthetics, but, okay, here's what we've done. Here are some test cases of what has happened. What is it that you want to happen? Because not every vendor or sponsor wants the same result for putting their pattern in the book, and they've always been able to tailor that. But the thing that impresses me is that it's not just them sitting down and doing a sales job. They spend a lot of time sitting down and talking about the nature of internet marketing, building house lists, understanding traffic to their websites or what they want to happen from an education standpoint. They really do take very good care, and they continue to be tutors and almost mentors in strategy, which I think is amazing.
And you know, this is new for a lot of people. You know, digital, online, it's new for a lot of people, and we want people to have a great experience. We also want people to have a realistic expectation. You know, a friend of ours started a cooking blog, and you know, she calculated that if she can get just 1% of the internet audience to look at her blog, she'd be making, you know, $100,000 a year. And I told her, I said, you know, that's not exactly how I look at the numbers. And she said, well, I read it in this book. And then she said, you know, and I understand I could make, you know, X amount of dollars, you know, per thousand. I said, I don't think that's correct. And she said, well, I read this in the book. And finally I said, well, why don't you just, you know, listen to what the book has to say. And 6 months later, you know, nothing happened. She had spent a lot of time and money. And I think the person who got, you know, rich is the person who wrote the book. However, the expectations set forth in the book were inaccurate. And so our goal is to sit down and educate people in a realistic manner because, again, as an industry steward, as someone who is involved in these trade associations, who attends every single one, you know, we're going to show our face again in 6 months or in 3 months. We want people to understand what's possible and what's impractical. And today, education is very important online. It may be less so in 5 years when more people are up to speed on things. But today, you know, things are very important from an educational perspective. And we plan to be around in 5 years. We want to run across the same people year after year and be able to walk down the aisle of your show and people say, thank you, and you know, you've done a great job for me, and you know, I love what you've done. And again, it could be a blogger who there's no financial relationship with. It could be a vendor of yours where there is a financial relationship, or it could be a consumer. Again, we're a free site supported by advertising, so we don't have any financial relationship with a consumer. We love getting love letters from the consumers, and we actually have a file of those. We love hearing from consumers where we've made a difference in their life, where they tell us we bring joy every day into their life, where you know they're making tons of things, whether it be for their church or for their sister or their you know granddaughter. We love hearing the stories, and so I encourage people to continue to write and comment on our websites. But we love to just see people having fun in the fiber area.
Yeah, well, but you do that in your other titles, too, and I think that's
yes.
that's a great idea. You know, you talked a little bit about the opportunity, and it takes a paradigm shift. And we talked in our pre-interview a little bit about the nature of how the industry has changed, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that. You know, in the old days, it was very much top-down. It started from the suppliers and the magazines, and it went down, and that's how you decided what content was out there. And
right.
You have some your own thoughts and ideas about the nature of that.
Yeah. Even 15 years ago, when I was in the publishing industry, generally speaking, we worked with the manufacturers and a few designers who are typically supported by a manufacturer, and that was the content that we featured in the magazine. And while the magazine was typically 100 pages, it was typically about 20 to 30 projects with limited space. But we also had limited people we worked with. Today, anybody can be a creator of terrific content, And because anybody can be a publisher of content online, this friend who started a food blog, you know, just decided to start a food blog. And today we can let the consumers tell us what they like and what they don't like. And we can put up 25 different Afghans on our websites. We don't have to pick one. And if we see that two or three are resonating, we can actually go back to the manufacturer or the designer or a blogger, and we can get more of those type of Afghans produced in, you know, 3 months or in 6 months or in 3 weeks to fulfill the consumer demands for what they really like. You know, historically in traditional publishing, again, you have not a lot of space, and there wasn't a lot of visibility. You know, today you've got millions of bloggers. There's statistics on the number of blogs that have been started and of course, also abandoned. But what we have found is that there's some terrific people out there designing wonderful content. And today we can find them because online, anything is possible. And the designers don't have to be just in the United States. We work with a designer in South Africa who produces content every week for us. We work with a designer in France who produces content for us every week. We work with a designer in Australia who produces content for us every week. You know, so today we have the ability to get content all over the world and the very best content. And the content is best because the consumers tell us that.
Well, and I think that's great, too, because, you know, again, if you get the old guard, which is, you know, only a small percentage of the people with skills, you know, ever get published and taking it out of the print medium, you have opportunities. And, again, you're able to test certain things. But I think what I think is a really interesting paradigm is that for you and your organization, it's not all sales-driven. That there does have to be that concept of, okay, first, is it good? You know, let's keep our consumers, our listeners happy first. Now, there's nothing wrong with making money. I've always said that where there's no margin, there's no mission. But, you know, proving the traffic makes a lot of sense. And finding that content really not only gives you customers, it creates a community that revolves around your content.
So yeah, I think you said it best. I mean, we have roughly 50 employees, 37 of them are editors. So if you think about it, almost 70% of our employees are creating content for the consumer. I believe if you create great content in a publishing business, everything else will come. Because, of course, what happens is the great content creates eyeballs and advertising, because we are advertising supported, just like radio and television. Is really an issue of how many eyeballs do you reach. The local TV station goes into the local car dealership and says, I have these many eyeballs, you know, gross rating points. And advertising is sold based upon, you know, eyeballs. And so if we could produce great content, everything else follows. And that's why we've been so focused on editorial. A lot of publishing companies, you know, I speak to don't really understand that because you might find 10 to 20% of the organization is editors. The rest of them are sales and marketing and support. You know, really focused heavily on editorial because I think that's the right thing to do. And the numbers speak for themselves in terms of our growth. We think it's a great strategy.
Well, I think you're right about that, and I think it shows up. I mean, people will opt out of a newsletter where it's just boring, or it's not interesting, or it's not what they want. And the quickest way to get there is just to sell out. And so I think you're smart about that. I think that when I look at what you do, because I've seen it so many times where without even checking with somebody, maybe some small company out there, you guys find something good, you go out and promote it. And just as a good turn, hey, this looks good. And, you know, you guys really are friendly, and you're very good stewards of the industry. I'm not trying to do a pun on your name here, Stuart.
But you just did.
It's something I did, but I didn't mean to because I try to stay away from puns whenever possible. But I watch you guys do that. And even in one of our Stitches ebooks, you did an ad for a free ad in the ebook for Halos of Hope, and I think this last time you did one for Mullen of America. You guys always go out of your way to make sure that you know you're giving back.
Yeah, so you know, Warm Up America is part of the Craft Yarn Council, and we're members and we're supporters. And you know, in October there's you know, Yarn Day, and look for it again this October. We want to spread the word about you know yarn, and last year we were one of the largest supporters of Yarn Day. We just told the world as best we possibly could about yarn. And again, that's part of giving back. We've done all sorts of programs where we've made caps for newborn babies and delivered it to a local hospital. And we'll continue to do more and more of that because it's part of our philosophy to give back. Our editors actually have a charity goal. And it just, again, comes back with the philosophy of trying to make the world a better place, trying to give 5 minutes of fun to the consumer, primarily a female between the ages of 40 and 60, every day in their life. And we do that through our cooking and our crafting content.
You guys do a great job of that. You know, I've noticed that you've always been, you know, great content and interesting ways that you present information up on your sites. I've noticed that you've gotten in some video. I saw that there was actually a little video ad that you guys put together for one of our ebooks. And you guys are doing a good job of that. So did you put together your own video editing bay? Are you got new people doing that for you?
We've had a video strategy for 3 years, and we actually have a program where we have people who create videos for us. And we're very specific about the type of topics we want to create and about the you know lighting and the sound quality that we wish to have. And that's a program that you know any of our editors can provide information to any of their listeners on creating video content. We're actually opening up our own video studio hopefully about June 1st. I think I hear some hammers next door, and that means they're making good progress on our new video studio, which has in the video studio a half it is a working kitchen, and the other half is a craft area. And we're going to begin to produce more and more videos in-house because we want to be able to you know take the content and help that person through words, through pictures, and through video and sound on areas that they may need additional assistance on, something that may not be perfectly clear. So we've been producing, you know, content, and there's great content on our YouTube channel, and we'll continue to add content. And again, we added to YouTube philosophically because we want it to be available not only to our readers, but to everybody. And so we've got a lot of how-to stuff. And sometimes we embed that within a specific project to provide that extra support that a consumer might need.
Are you there?
Does that all make – yeah, I'm here. Does that make sense?
I'm sorry. I just had an audio cut out. I apologize about that. Yes, no, it makes perfect sense. But I think it's great because I get the sense that, you know, these are still going to be things that, you know, are going to be advertiser-driven but free to the end consumer as well.
Yes. So, you know, 15 years ago when I began the concept of producing content online, I realized I was too early. Because back then, the content was simply text, and people were using dial-up modems predominantly through AOL to access the content, so things were slow. So, you know, back then, to show someone a color picture or a video would have been painful because you weren't going to have a good experience. And to be able to explain to somebody a crochet pattern with just black and white text, not good. So today we've moved, you know, well beyond that, with most people having access to high-speed internet. And we really want people to be able to access content wherever they are. So, you know, we're moving to a responsive design where people can take a look at our content on a desktop, on a tablet, or their smartphone, wherever they might be, at the grocery store, sitting in a knitting group, at a coffee shop, at a trade show, in the library. And if you're stuck, you know, we want to be able to give you some helpful pictures to get you by that, or a video, or, you know, look on our websites. Probably other people have had the same issues. Just search for, you know, how to do X, and hopefully you'll find the answer. And if you can't, then you contact us by customer service, and we'll do our best to find the information for you and get back an answer in a relatively short period of time, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, well, and again, it's a great idea, because I have a feeling, and, you know, I don't want you to hold me to this, Stuart, but I think this whole internet thing is going to catch on.
You know, I hope you're right. We've staked a lot on it. I was actually, you know, talking to a traditional publisher not too long ago who hasn't made the leap online, and you know, the person said, you know, my dad and I, you know, just aren't convinced the internet's here to stay. And I used to hear that a lot 10 years ago, but you know, hearing it just recently, I was like, oh my goodness, really? So yeah, I think it is here, and I think, you know, the challenge for everyone is it's moving so quickly, and I think our greatest challenge is technology. It's moving so quickly. You know, the question is, can we keep up and be competitive against everybody else? And so we're, you know, forecasting what we think is going to be popular or important in 6 months or in a year or 5 years, and that, you know, represents some of the challenges. So obviously, you know, if you produced a craft, you know, project online 15 years ago and it just contained, you know, black and white words, and you didn't have the photograph, you know, today a picture is worth 1,000 words, and it's more like 2,000 words online, because not only can people enjoy looking at the projects to see if it's something they want to make, but then they can also pin it to their Pinterest boards, or they can share it with a you know, a friend by emailing it to them. They can collaborate. There's all sorts of different things you can do with great content and great pictures and great videos.
Well, yeah, and again, I was, of course, being funny about the internet catching on, but the other cool thing about this is not just the sharing, but the ability for everybody out there in the world that maybe is isolated in some rural place to come together with other like-minded people and their crafts and experience it together and then talk about it together online. Again, it's the community thing that I find, you know, very appealing, and you guys do a good job with that.
Thank you. You know, we think that people want community. I mean, obviously people live busy lives, and sometimes you don't know who your neighbor is, but oftentimes you have a wonderful relationship, and we'd like to foster that, you know, by finding, you know, people who might like to, you know, knit certain types of animals. And we want to foster the ability for you to find, you know, like-minded individuals online in our community. And we want to give you the contents and the pictures and the videos to inspire you to make things, whether it be for your home, whether it be for family, whether it be for a bazaar, whatever, you know, the case might be. So there you have it.
Well, that's absolutely. Okay, so this is kind of the big thing that I wanted to make sure we were on. So besides having you on the show today to talk about yourself and your company, which, again, I should have done long ago because you guys are so great, we do have another reason for doing this interview today. And I'd like to ask if you'd like to take it away and tell our listeners what the plan is.
Sure, Ben. Thanks so much. Well, obviously, you've been doing a great job of running the Fiber Hooligan podcast for a long time. You've got a great following, and you're a great host, and we want to help you out. And I know that you were looking for a change of format, and I know you wanted to get away from the live format so that we could do more exciting things, so that we can sort of glue it all together and give something to the consumer that's going to be terribly exciting. And I know you also wanted to expand the reach of the show, and what greater way than to allow our audience at Prime Publishing to also be exposed to Ben and the community of Fiber Hooligans. So we're going to be working collaboratively, and I know that soon you're going to press the magic button, and Prime Publishing and our websites will become the exclusive media sponsor of the show. And in fact, the show itself will move to allfreeknitting.com. And people can still, of course, access the show exactly as they have been by pressing that magic button. You'll allow people to continue to have their favorites go to the new location. And we're going to work together with our editorial team to really provide a show that's going to take not only the great things you've done, but to make them even greater going forward. And we're going to do it together, which is really exciting. Because we want to work with you and your magazine and your consumer shows to get people using yarn the way they love to do it. Does that sound like a good overview? Did I mess anything up?
No, you did great. I'm going to jump in and say a few things about the change. You know, folks, I think I've said before, at least online, that I've not always been a fan of this format. The live show does not lend itself to the best possible quality. It also ties us up if I'm not available. And so with going to a pre-recorded format, hopefully we're going to have a better sounding show, and it'll be able to come out with less interruptions. So I'm excited about that. And so this will be our last show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm eager to join the Prime Publishing family of content. These guys are good guys. They've been good partners for us for a long time. I don't want you to worry. They're the right folks for us to move to. And I'm really thrilled that they have got an aggressive marketing campaign so that they're going to be promoting the shows and introducing the show to, well, anywhere between 1 and 2.5 million knitters and crocheters on a weekly basis. So this is going to be very great. And Stuart, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity. It's something I'm very excited about.
We are as well. You know, we know that we have over a million people who subscribe to our crochet and knitting publications. And then, of course, we also have almost 2 million more consumers who subscribe to our other titles, and they include a lot of crochet and knitting enthusiasts. And we want to be able to promote the show to all of those consumers and to give people another way to build community and websites and blogs and newsletters and social media and video and now the radio show. It's going to be terrific.
Yes, it is, and I'm, you know, again, I'm so jazzed about this stuff, and it's this is a big thing we've been working on for a while, and the collaboration is going to be great because, you know, with luck in the future, some of the great contacts you have over there, your designers that you, I will be able to be guests on my show. It's just going to be a great collaboration, and it's going to be good for everybody. So I really do want to thank you for the opportunity, and I want to reassure all you Fiber Hooligans that, you know, it's still going to be the same show. It's just not going to be live. And you know, I'm hoping that it gets better. I see a comment in the chat room. No, it will not be a video show. Audio. I have a face made for radio. Nobody wants to see my face. But, you know, to reassure everybody and I wanted to let you know that we're going to go live in 2 weeks in our new format and our new home. And not, I don't want anybody to worry because there'll be more information forthcoming. So anyway, thank you for coming on the show. Sir, there's two last questions I'd like to ask you. Slide on out of here today. First, are there any shout-outs that you'd like to make?
We have a terrific team. And you've mentioned Chris Wright and Keith Cousins. in our sales and marketing area, and I know you work very closely with Caitlin Eaton and Kristen Weyer and Simone Collins on our editorial side, and you're going to be working more closely with all the editors in our knitting and crochet titles. And you know, they're the ones that are really out there doing all the terrific work, and they're the ones that are going to be helping create terrific shows. And I'm very fortunate that we have a wonderful crew that is so enthusiastic about knitting and crochet and sit down every day to try to figure out how we can engage more consumers and share the passion that we all have. And thanks for the opportunity, Ben, personally and professionally, for us to work together and collaborate on the new show that we'll be doing together.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and again, just ever so excited about this. Okay, so last question, Stuart. I gave you a warning about this in our pre-interview. Before we wrap up this up today, I'd like to ask if you have a final message you'd like to share with our listeners.
The message is that we're going to continue to create, aggregate, and review wonderful content, and we're going to do it across formats, and we're terribly excited about expanding the reach to the radio podcast format. And if you're interested in great content, we're going to do it together. And the feedback of each of the consumers is vitally important. And we look forward to working collaboratively, not only just with Ben, but also with the consumers and our advertisers and our sponsors and the people we meet at the trade shows. And together, you know, we'll create a wonderful place in the world for people who like to crochet and knit. That's our goal, right?
That's great. That's a great way of lining up. I want to thank you again for joining us today, Stuart. I'm really looking forward to joining you folks online, and I think that I'll be seeing you in person at Stitches Midwest in August. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You betcha.
Right in your backyard.
Close to our office. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. Well, you have a great day, and thanks very much for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Stuart Hawkwart from Prime Publishing. If you haven't explored or signed up for all of their sites, like favecrafts.com, allfreeknitting.com, allfreecrochet.com, stitchandunwind.com, and or the Knit Picky Patterns e-newsletter, you should do that today and be looking for Fiber Hooligan news from all of those outlets in the near future. Okay, you know what time it is.
And now it's time for State of the Hooligan with Tammy Burke.
I'd like to welcome back the host of State of the Hooligan, moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group, and administrator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook page to tell us all what's new and cool in the fiber arts world, our roving virtual reporter, my friend and fellow Fiber Hooligan, Tammy Burke. Tammy joins us again today from Boise, Idaho. Good morning, Tammy, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
You just can't make it through that, can you?
For some reason, I had thoughts of indigestion when those trumpets were blaring. It's just me this morning. Never mind.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm good.
It was pretty good.
That's great.
This is pretty exciting news, I think.
I think so too. And I'd like to talk about this with you a few minutes before we move into your segment, because I know that there's some people that are going to have a little angst around it. And we saw a few people that say it's not going to be the same. And you're right, folks, it's not going to be the same. You know, there won't be a live show, and so there won't be a live chat room the way it works now. You know, I'd like people to understand that the number of live listeners that we have are probably less than 0.2% of the entire downloads that we get. And, you know, so the trade-off for having a live show is bad audio, and it just locks us into a time so that we can't have consistent content and new shows out there. At the same time, I think Tammy has an idea for those of you who want to do the chat thing. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Well, in our Ravelry group, hello, come on over. In our Ravelry group, we've always had a chat room there. And right at the moment, it's empty and has been for a month, it says. So, you know, I'm there. I have it open. But, you know, it's not always necessary. I think there was a couple of times where we didn't have live chat on the website. So that's always been an option as a backup. And, you know, we can use that now as questions are being thought up by our listeners during the live program. You could have always gone there and looked for us an answer too, and that will continue to be the same. That's not going anywhere.
Right, and the format's going to stay the same. It's still going to be an interview-based show. You know, I'm going to try very hard to have almost an equal number of crochet versus knit in this program. In the past, I've maybe not done as well for crochet as I could, and I'm going to do much better in crochet as I move forward. And I wanted to all let you know that Tammy has been, you know, in on this new development for the show for a little while, and I want to assure all of you that it is our intention to continue to have Tammy on the show with her State of the Hooligan Report in our new format. It just means that we just have to pre-record it, and it'll all be good. So I don't want anybody to worry. This is a good thing, and Tammy and I are very excited about it.
Yep, I was so excited. I did my hair and put makeup on today.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that's fantastic. You understand that this is not a video show, right?
Not yet. It will get there. You're funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, I got a couple of questions in the chat room, and so I'll answer them. You know, will I be doing Indie Dyers? Will I be doing spinning? The answer is yes, I will be doing spinning when it makes sense, and there's a good story. I'll be doing Indie Dyers when that makes sense. I'll be doing large yarn companies when it makes sense. I'll be doing people that do other fiber events when it makes sense. And so this is whatever, you know, I think is cool. And but I do want to make sure that crochet is a little more represented in the show than it has been in the past. And I want to have a nice diverse bunch of guests out there and make sure that you guys learn something and are entertained on a weekly basis. So please stick with us. You're going to love this. And I'll be talking to you a little later in the program about how all this works and how you can find us. So let's move on. You have got a report for us today, Tammy.
Well, yeah, and just to go back to that for just one quick second, the important thing has always been for Benjamin is that always been a quality product, quality show, and I think that making this move does that. So, yes, on to the State of the Hooligan topic. This week I've picked one big subject and one teeny little one. The first one is the Stitch and Sale that's happening with Debbie McComber. That's about a year from now. But the time to sign up to go on the cruise with Debbie McComber is now. Debbie's special to us because she was the very first guest of this program. Can't believe it. It was 14 months ago yesterday. Can you?
I was thinking about that myself the other day when I saw that this was the 50th episode, and I kind of went, wow. And I got this really great letter from somebody that says that they listened to the first episode, and, you know, it's just, yeah, yeah. And I mean, and, you know, she was so
It just
great.
Seems like it was and, yesterday, yes.
Yeah, it really does, and she really is very special. I've known her. I've been to her shop. She's been to many Stitches, and we served together on the board of Warm Up America for a number of years, and you know, yeah, she's a pretty incredible lady. And yeah, as I hear, she's got this great cruise, Alaskan cruise kind of coming on. And if you guys don't know how cruises work, you have to actually sign up, you know, almost a year to 9 months ahead of time. And so, yeah, I think this is a very cool thing.
The website, if you want to go and check it out, is stitchandsale.onlineitineraries.com. I'll post the link to that in the Ravelry group. That website says that there will be classes about knitting, crocheting, beading, drop spindling, or just simply the opportunity to relax and read. It's being sponsored by Debbie's Yarn Shop, A Good Thing, and our friends at Cascade Yarns.
Hey, love us some Cascade.
Yay! And they're really busy with this. The itinerary leaves Seattle on a Sunday. You spend Monday en route at sea, and you arrive in Juneau, Alaska on Tuesday. So obviously this goes to Alaska. I guess I forgot to mention that. Wednesday is spent in Skagway, Thursday at Glacier Bay, all those beautiful photographs that everybody always comes home with on the Alaska cruises. Friday is spent in Ketchikan, Saturday in Victoria, B.C., and you arrive back in Seattle on a Sunday morning. A couple of teachers are mentioned, but not a lot of detail about the classes yet, so you have to keep checking back at the website. But for instance, right now it doesn't show the crochet classes or drop spindling as promised in that front page description. Cascade Yarns is going to be so busy on this cruise. First, they have a fashion show, and our delightful friend Shannon Dunbaben, who everyone knows from the Stitches Marketplace, will be featuring a yarn talk and a project knit-along during the cruise. So she's going to have her hands full. The ship is the Norwegian Pearl from Norwegian Cruise Lines. Its amenities include, of course, the bowling alley, rock climbing wall, various dining options, multiple bars and lounges, casino and spa, pools, fitness center. The prices start for this is $981.73 per cabin per person, and then you add to that which of the classes and other attractions you wish to participate in at additional cost. And this all has to be booked through Hazel Phillips Travel. That's part of that website. You'll find her information there. The only other thing after this cruise that I've been thinking about and has me a little bit preoccupied, Ben, and I don't know if you saw this, was the Italian installation of the giant knitted bunny. Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
It's probably big enough that you could see it from space. It's portrayed to be disemboweled. It's a bit unsettling to me that it will be left there until it blows away, and they estimate that's supposed to happen in 2025. And it's an incredible waste of yarn, but that's just me and my phobias about ever running out of something to knit with, I'm sure.
I don't think somehow I think that you'll figure out a way to never run out of something to knit with, Tammy.
Okay. I'm going to keep you to your word on that. Anyway,
yeah,
I hope everyone has an – go ahead.
No, I was going to just say, you know, that if nothing else, we'll just keep you coming to Stitches, and so we can do stash enhancement on your breaks and things like that, okay?
There we go. That's a good plan. I hope everyone has a really awesome week. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody next time we have a program in the new format. Congratulations on your show sponsorship, Benjamin, and always, as always, happy Monday.
Well, again, thank you for another great segment, Tammy, and we'll look forward to hearing from you in 2 weeks, and I'll talk more about that after offline here. Happy Monday, and thank you for your support and talking me through, because Tammy has been there for me as we were talking through how to approach the new show and or the new format of the show. And so you take care of yourself, young lady out there in Boise, Idaho, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Tammy Burke, host of State of the Hooligan and administrator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook page and moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group. For those of you who may have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us on one of our groups. Tammy does a great job of making sure we answer questions and provide links and follow-up to anything you might have heard on the show. Next week, we won't be having a show. I will be using the time to move the podcast over to a new hosting company, as well as to work on my first pre-recorded show that will be airing at our new home on allfreeknitting.com, and it will be airing on Memorial Day. I don't want you folks to worry. We will be repointing our domain, fiberhooligan.com, to the correct page on the allfreeknitting.com website so that none of you gets lost. And so when we're ready, all you have to do is type in fiberhooligan.com, and bang, it'll take you where you need to go. Our iTunes RSS feed will change, but as soon as we have that new feed, we will make sure that we post that for all of you to follow Fiber Hooligan that way. Many of you use some kind of an RSS feed for your like podcast, but don't worry, folks. We're not going to lose you, and we're going to make sure that this is a place that you're happy to come and join us in the future. The following Monday, Memorial Day, we will be back with our great friend, Drew Amborski, a.k.a. the Crochet Dude. Drew has gone from unknown crafter to world-famous lifestyle guru in just a few short years. Fans know him from his mainly published books on crochet and knit, PBS television show, blog, line of products distributed worldwide, and his hand-dyed yarns. It's been a while since we've had this very talented man on the show, and I thought it would be fitting to have him as our first guest in the new format and at our new home. He's excited to be the first guy in that, so we hope you'll join us so you can hear from this icon of the fiber arts world in 2 weeks. I also want to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. And that includes suggestions for guests or cool things you'd like Tammy to talk about in her segment. If you want to email Tammy directly, you can do so at tammy@fiberhooligan.com. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. You ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your question or email on the show. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. We'll see you in 2 weeks at our new home for another edition of Fiber Hooligans.